A tax collector? Okay. Huh? Okay. Not sure. He was also a Jew. Okay. Who did he collect tax from? Does anybody know?
The king.
Not quite. Almost. Who did he take the tax from?
The people.
The Jews that were just like him. The Jews that were just like him. Okay? Do you think he got picked on by people because he was so short?
No.
You don't think so?
No, he did.
I bet he did. I bet he did. Do you think that made him angry?
No.
Huh? When people picked on him and mocked him for not being very big because he was just little. Do you think that made him angry?
Huh?
Yeah, what good is it to be short and be mad? That don't make no sense. That don't make no sense at all. Okay, who did he collect tax for?
For the king.
The king. The king who? It was for the Romans. It was for the Romans was the controlling body anyway. I won't go too deep into that. So as you think of Zacchaeus, you know the Romans didn't pay Zacchaeus to collect tax from the Jews. Okay, he was just told to go collect tax for the Jews. The Romans didn't pay him. But Zacchaeus, it says, was rich. He was wealthy. So how did he make his money? How did he make his money? Anybody? He would what? Okay, that's close. That's very close. What happened was, let's just say that we knew Brandon owed $20 in taxes. Okay, Zacchaeus knew how much each person owed in their taxes that the Romans required. So instead, he would go and charge you $40. He would double it, and he would make his own money off of what he charged over and above the tax. Because the Romans knew that if they wouldn't pay him to collect tax, he would steal. He would make more off the tax, and he would keep it for himself. So that's what he was doing. He was going to people that only owed $20 a tax, and he would charge them $40. Then he would keep that, and then he'd give $20 to the Romans. So the Romans, he wasn't cheating the Romans at all. He was cheating his own people. What happened when? Why do you think Zacchaeus climbed up in a tree? Why did he climb up in the sycamore tree?
Because
he was short. What had he heard? He heard that Jesus was coming, and he wanted to just get a glimpse of Jesus. He just wanted to see if this was really real, this Jesus that he kept hearing about. And by the way, Jesus wasn't going to stop in that town. He was just planning on passing through. But as he came through, he saw Zacchaeus, and he pointed at him and told him to come down. I'm coming to your house today. What do you think that did to Zacchaeus? Do you think he got excited? Huh? Do you think he got excited about Jesus coming to his house? What if you would crawl up in a tree and you'd see Jesus come walking by and he'd say, come down out of that tree right now because I'm coming to your house today. Would that be exciting or what? You know, I want to just point this out. This is one thing I want to point out this morning about Zacchaeus. Do you know he knew that he was being a crooked tax collector, that he was being wicked, that he was stealing money? But you know, Jesus never told him that. Jesus said, I just want to come into your heart today. And when Jesus comes into someone's heart, all of a sudden, the overflow of the heart, out comes all the bad stuff. And that's what happened to Zacchaeus. When Jesus came to his house, Jesus didn't even accuse him. He just simply come there and wanted to be his friend. He didn't agree with what Zacchaeus was doing, but he wanted to be his friend. Because he knew that if he would be his friend, all the sins would come out. See, we don't want to agree with people that are involved with sin, but we want to become their friend so that they get rid of their sin. That's what we want to do. And that's what happened to Zacchaeus. Because when Jesus came, all of a sudden Zacchaeus started saying, hey, I've stolen from all these people. I'm going to give them back four times what they owe, what I took from them. And he said, all my wealth, I'm so wealthy, all my wealth, I'm going to give it to all the poor. Half of it, all to all the poor. He's going to give it all back. Jesus never had to tell him to do that. He just simply loved on him and cared for him of who he was. Okay? Now, one thing we want to know is Jesus didn't befriend Zacchaeus to become like Zacchaeus. He didn't become his friend to become like him, okay? So why did he go to Zacchaeus' house? Does anybody know why Jesus went there? Why did Jesus go to Zacchaeus' house? Because he knew he had sin, okay? Because he was bad. Actually, Jesus went to Zacchaeus' house because he wanted to bring salvation to Zacchaeus. Just like he does to every one of us. He wants to bring salvation to all of us. He wants us to repent of this world system so that we accept Jesus and follow him. Not the way the world tries to tell us to do. Okay, here's one last thought. We are saved out of this world to become like Jesus. Okay? The only business we have mingling with the world and its affairs is to win others out of the world to Jesus, not to become like the world. The only business we have in the world is to win others to Jesus, not to become like them. Okay? Let's have a little prayer, and then I'll have you go back to your parents, okay? Now you remember about Zacchaeus. He wasn't just, you know, we sing a song about it being a wee little man, and we think about this cute little man crawling up in a tree, but he was really a wicked man, but that's who Jesus came for. It's for those who are in sin. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this morning. I just pray a blessing on each one of these children. And God, as they continue to grow for you, would they continue to set their sights and their goals on glory. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be dismissed. Thank you for sitting so quietly. Psalms 34:8 says, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Taste and see. And this morning my prayer is that we would taste and see that the Lord is good. The outline for this morning, I just want to share up front a little bit what I want to look at. And we want to look at three scripture passages, okay? One of them is going to be about the rich young ruler. And the other one is going to be about the parable that Jesus shared about two sons. Okay, and then we're going to look at the rich little man, namely Zacchaeus. We're going to end with that whole idea. But what I want you to do this morning is I want you to think about who are you most like? Who are we most like? The rich young ruler? The parable of the two sons? Or Zacchaeus? I want you to think about it. My prayer is that God would speak to your hearts as I share briefly some concepts that go along with this. But I have a question for you as I get started here. Did you come to church this morning looking for an encounter with Jesus? Did you come looking for an encounter with Jesus? And my thing is, if you did, praise the Lord. But if you didn't, then I say repent. Repent. Because there's nothing else we're looking for except an encounter with Jesus Christ. And the things we want to go through this morning is this. All these people were looking for an encounter with Jesus. Not all of them got it. Not all of them were willing to go there. But my prayer is that we would be willing to look for an encounter with Jesus. So if you would, you can turn to Luke 18, and we will start there. Luke 18. And we want to start in verse 18. A certain ruler asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered. "No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Honor your father and mother." Verse 21 says, "All these I have kept since I was a boy." Now notice, That book was not yet wrote that said, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, right? All these have I kept since I was a boy, he said. When Jesus heard this, he said to him, you're lying. Oh, no, he didn't. No. So many times we want to do that. We want to go right for the intellectual of the mind instead of to the heart. And some of the stuff that I'm going to be sharing as we dig into this here is a lot of what I learned through Caring for the Heart Ministries the other week that I was gone. Anyway, but think about what he did. Look at what Jesus did right here. He could have called him a liar. He could have called him, because Jesus said, you know, look at the things that Jesus said later on. He said, if you even look on a woman with lust, you've already committed adultery in your heart. If you hate your brother, you've already murdered in your heart. So someone says, I've kept all these since my youth. Jesus didn't call him out. He simply says, you still lack one thing. Sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. Now, when he heard this, verse 23, he became very sad because he was a man of great wealth. And Jesus looked at him and said, how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. Indeed, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Now, I want you to think about that just for a minute. This man came to Jesus looking for an encounter. He was looking for a relationship with Jesus. But he didn't get it. Was it Jesus' fault or was it his fault? My question, first of all, this morning was, did you come looking to have an encounter with Jesus? And my prayer is that you do. And it's going to be up to you whether or not you will find that relationship. Jesus is open. He told the man just plain as day, all he wanted to do is care for his heart. Now, maybe you've never committed adultery. Maybe you've never murdered someone. Maybe you've never stole anything. And maybe you've never lied. Maybe you never dishonored your parents. But is this good enough to enter the kingdom of God? Is this good enough? This floored me when we were talking about this stuff this morning in Sunday school, because I just wanted to touch briefly on it, because I don't have time to go into the whole too much on this, so we talked a lot about it this morning in Sunday school. So, one of the things, there are too many people today that believe they are righteous in their right living, okay? Righteous in their right standing with God, simply because they believe they have never sinned. There's people around that believe they have never sinned, because they obeyed the law. They have never sinned. And you might think, well, Dwayne, these are God's laws and they're meant to obey. Yes, they are. Yes, they are. But they are here to show you how you are a sinner, not to save you. The law doesn't save you. You can keep all the laws. They're there to show you that you are a sinner. So if we try and convince ourselves that we've never sinned, we're only cheating ourselves. We're only lying to ourselves. Because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The other thing that I think about with that, when you think about all the law, you cannot add Jesus to your set of righteous rules, righteous living. Am I saying that you should go out and sin? Absolutely not. God says, God forbid. Does that mean we should sin more when we understand the grace of God? No, God forbid. The law is there for a reason. But we cannot be saved by it. And just as this young man came to Jesus, he had done all these things that he believed right. Okay? And Jesus just told him, he said, then sell everything. Give it all away and come follow me. Why do you think he did that? Except he wanted his heart. He wanted his heart. He didn't care how much the guy had done right. He didn't care how much was going on. Once he's got his heart, out of that comes righteousness. When I say that, I want to be careful because there is a place for the law, that we must understand the law, that we understand what right living is, that we understand who God is, that we understand the nature of God through the law. But that does not save us. It's only in our belief and our faith in Jesus Christ, because all have broken the law. And if anybody would ever sit here and tell me they've never broken the law or never sinned, I would weep for you. Because you're deceived. So much deception happens in the idea when we try and make ourselves believe that we've never done anything wrong. It's a terrible place to be. When we can recognize that we've done things wrong, and yet it's through the blood of Jesus Christ, and it's through our faith in Jesus Christ that sets us free. We don't have to deny that we've done wrong things. We've all made mistakes. This man wasn't willing to go there, and he wasn't willing to sell out, and he wasn't willing to do that. And I see that sometimes in our churches. People are not willing to admit that we make mistakes. It's okay. It's not, yeah, it's okay. Because that's what the law is for, to show us that we are not worthy of doing it ourselves. We simply need the faith and the saving grace of Jesus Christ in order to be saved. We can't do it on our own. Okay, enough of that one. I want to go on to one other one. So you think of the rich young ruler came there and he had done everything he believed was right. And Jesus said, that's not enough. He asked him to do something completely oblivious to what this man believed all his life. And he wouldn't do it. And he walked away. And it says, I'm not sure if it's in this gospel where it says that when he walked away, Jesus looked on him sorrowful. I believe that's in another one. But anyway, he had sorrow for the guy because he knew his heart. His heart wasn't there. He tried to do everything through the intellectual. He tried to do it from everything he knew instead of committing his heart to Jesus Christ. Okay, let's turn on now. Matthew 21. We want to go to Matthew 21, verse 28. This is the second set of scripture we want to look at. It's a parable about two sons. Okay, starting in verse 28, it says, what do you think? There was a man who had two sons. He went to the first and he said, son, go and work today in the vineyard. I will not, he answered. But later, he changed his mind and he went. Then the father went to the other son and said to the same thing. He answered, I will, sir. But he did not go. Which of the two did what his father wanted? The first, they answered. And Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to you the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and prostitutes did. And even after you saw this, you did not repent and believe him. There's people will shut out the Spirit of God and the things of God simply because they believe in their own righteousness and they will not receive it. Now, let me ask you a serious, or maybe two serious questions that I think of as I think of this here. And I want you to catch that. The one said he will not work in the vineyard. Okay? But later he changed his mind and he did. Now the other one said, hey, I'm all yours, Lord. I'll work in the vineyard. But then he just lived for himself and his own righteousness. Which do you think pleases God the most? Or did what his master wanted? I have a question, two of them actually. Have you committed your life to follow Jesus? Maybe at a young age. Maybe at an older age. You've committed to do that. And you said, yes, Lord. You've accepted Christ as your Savior. But then have continued to live for self. And self-righteousness. All about me. Or have you committed your life to follow the world, but alas, have changed and come follow Christ? Which one of the two did what his father wanted? I want you to think about that. Where are we at today? Where are we at? Do people care what Christ wants to do? What the Spirit of God wants to do in the church? Have we just said, yes, Lord, but we're living for our own righteousness? Or are we sold out? Not to me, but to the kingdom of God. Now, I want to go on to the next one. And that's Zacchaeus. And, oh boy, is that in Luke? I didn't even write it down. Luke 19, I believe. Luke 19. Let's try that. Yes, Luke 19, right at the beginning. It says, Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. Now, he was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached a spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. A tax collector, hated by his own people, welcomed Jesus gladly. Now you had a rich young ruler earlier who had said he never did any of these things wrong, but he rejected Jesus. Now, where was I? Okay, verse 7. All the people saw this and they began to mutter, he has gone to be the guest of a sinner. Now I want you to picture why he said that, why they were saying this. They were a lot like the rich young ruler. They believed they had never done anything wrong. Why would Jesus go to a tax collector's house? Why wouldn't he come to my house? I never did anything wrong. I've been living right. I've been doing everything right. Why wouldn't he come to my house? One thing I think of right off the bat is that Jesus didn't come for those who don't need a doctor. And by the way, if you believe you don't need a doctor, you better get your head examined. We all need a doctor. And I don't mean that nasty. I mean that I marvel. I marvel at people that don't believe they need Jesus. They've got it all right. You know, you don't ever ask, and some people think I'm off the deep end on some of this, but I think of it all the time. Somebody asks me, you know, is there something wrong with me? There's something wrong with everybody. Jesus said so. Hello. I mean, who are we trying to kid when we think there's nothing wrong with us? There's none of us got it all together. None of us is perfect. Nobody has it all together. No one. Okay, now where was I here? But Zacchaeus stood up, okay? They were all muttering because they couldn't believe it. They were living right, and here's Zacchaeus being a tax collector, and he chooses to go to Zacchaeus' house. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now, I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. Jesus said to him, today, salvation has come to this house because this man, too, is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. And I want you to see a man that started his life, for whatever reason that he turned to be a tax collector. We don't know. There's a lot of theories out there. But I want you to see something. He didn't try and pretend like he was living for Jesus. He simply lived out who he was. And then when Jesus came by, he received him. And change came. Salvation came. Completely different than the rich young ruler who tried to live out and be somebody he really wasn't. And when Jesus came, he wouldn't accept him. Because he believed he had everything he needed. He didn't want to get rid of that. Now, I know we can take that all into the financial, but I'm not going there. I want to go to the heart issue of what I see happening. And then the two sons, the parable of the two sons clears it all up, because that's what's happening here, both of these situations between the rich young ruler and Zacchaeus. The parable of the two sons, the one said, I will not, which was Zacchaeus. But then later he did. And I think of the rich young ruler as the one that said, I will, because he kept the law. But then when Jesus came here, he found out he didn't actually go serve him. He just simply kept the law. He didn't actually serve him with his life. He didn't give his life for him to live for Jesus. You know, the more that we can understand that the Spirit of God, Jesus the Christ, wants so bad to minister to our hearts and to speak life into our very beings, that out of that will come rivers of living water. The more we can allow ourselves to be opened up to the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that power speaking into us can affect so many people around us if we would only allow it. When we allow it, put it that way. When we allow it to, not if. It's when we allow it to. Okay, the Spirit of God working through you as you care for someone's heart will bring conviction. There's a ministry that I think of. There's a man in up at Tiger River, the prison there, the chaplain, Chaplain Edmonston. He told me, he's a Baptist pastor also. He told me when he got his license or ordained or whatever, he had to go through a class. And he said one of the classes he had to go through was Holy Spirit ministry. And I'll never forget it. He said they would take you to the dying in the hospitals, the ones that they felt there was no hope. And they would let the patient know that you were coming in there to care for their heart. You weren't allowed to say a word. And he said, you walk in there. You could weep. You could smile. You could hold their hand. You could pat them on the head, whatever. You weren't allowed to say a word. And he said, amazing how powerful the Spirit of God working through you to someone else can be. We need to recognize that. We have so much intellectual knowledge, so much in the head, that we try and figure things out and we try and make this person know that they're sinning because of this or that. And there's so much going on in the intellectual. I long that we could understand the power of God through Jesus Christ when he came to a guy like Zacchaeus. He didn't come there to become like him. He came there to draw him out. He loved on him to draw him out. Today we have so many people that want to go love on people to become like them. It's not the way it is. It's a false gospel. When we want to love on people to become like them, why do you think there's so much happening in the churches of the world system pressing in on the church? We have a wrong thinking pattern where we think we can go, like there was Zacchaeus. Jesus didn't go and bless him for being a tax collector at all. He just simply cared for his heart to draw him out of being a tax collector. They were known as crooked people. When Jesus went and ate with sinners, he didn't go there to become like them. He went there to draw them out. He cared for their heart. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And I think of that as we walk with people. And as you work with people every day, in your jobs, everything you're involved in, school, job, church, everything. Committee, things that you're involved in as you care for people's hearts, to draw them out to a deeper, draw them to a deeper relationship with Jesus Christ. So many don't want to go there. They just want to live and just be happy. There is no such thing. Just live and just be happy. It's about drawing closer. It's about having a relationship. It's about rejoicing because Jesus paid for all our sins. I'll never be good enough of myself. You'll never be good enough of yourself to become, to be accepted by God. But then Jesus. But because of Jesus Christ, He's called us all. It's whether or not we're willing to receive that for what it is. Not by law. By faith. Believing that through Jesus Christ, He will draw us out. He will cleanse us of all unrighteousness. He will cleanse us from all filthiness. He will cleanse us from everything if we allow Him in. In closing, I want to ask the question, have you come this morning as someone wanting to have an encounter with Jesus? Maybe you believed in your own righteousness like the rich young ruler. But God is asking you to repent and let the love of Jesus consume you and heal you and care for you. The question is, will you trust Him? Will you trust Him? Maybe you committed your life to follow Jesus, but the cares of this world have consumed you. Is God asking you to repent from your worldly desires and influences and come and follow Jesus? Maybe you came here this morning bound by depression, bitterness, addictions, and you simply wanted to get one more glimpse of Jesus. Just one more time. A small glimpse of Jesus. Because you know and you've heard He alone can heal. That's what Zacchaeus wanted. That's why he climbed up the tree. He just wanted to get that one glimpse. He's heard all the stories. Is Jesus looking at your heart and saying, today, I want to come into your heart because I love you? Will you trust Him? Will you trust Him this morning? I don't know where you're at this morning in relation to all this, but I have a burden for this church. I wonder if Jesus has the okay to come in to people's hearts. Is it open enough? I see a lot of things. I see a lot of righteous acts. And I wonder, where's the heart? Where's the heart of who we are? I long to know, is Jesus welcome here? I don't know where you're at this morning, but I have a burden that I see trying to do things to please Christ, to please God, to please the church. I'll be honest, I don't see the love. Whether that's my fault or something that's here, I don't know. I'm going to ask, though, that the Spirit of God, that we would be open to hear God's whisper to us. Where are we? Are we so staunch in who we are and that I'm going to do my own thing and I'm just going to be who I want to be? Or are we open to receive the Spirit of God that would lead us into unity and new oneness and allow that to minister to our fellow brethren. My prayer is that we would. That we would open ourselves up. I won't belabor that. Let's stand for a closing prayer. Let's just stand for a closing prayer. I do have a burden. I have a serious burden that we would be open to receive and to turn from worldliness to godliness. And only by the Spirit of God. And understand that there is a system out there that is so seriously at work trying to tear us down, and it is controlled by Satan. Two-world system. And it feels sometimes like we're oblivious to it. And I hurt. I hurt many times. Trying to understand. If God is, I'm just going to say this, I'm going to pray, but if God has spoken to you this morning and you say, you know what, I've been like that rich young ruler and Jesus has come my way. Maybe God's laid something on your heart. And say, you know what? I want to release all my ideas, my thinking, or whatever it is, and I want to accept Jesus as my Savior. Or I want to accept Jesus. Maybe there's somebody young here, too, that never accepted Christ as their personally, or somebody old. Never accept Him as their Savior. But through what we shared this morning, it's like God is just knocking on my heart. And maybe it's just simply to say, I recognize what Jesus wants to do inside my life today. Maybe it's like the two sons, the one that said, I will, but then just never served the Lord. He just simply lived for himself. Or maybe it's the other way, where one said he wasn't going to and now wants to. Or maybe it's like Zacchaeus, we've been living in a life of sin, and Jesus wants to come to your house, even if you have accepted Christ as your Savior. Maybe he's calling you to repent, or just calling you to come. It's okay. Repentance is a beautiful thing, by the way. It's a gift that God gives us. It's not a curse. So if God has spoken to you this morning, I'm just going to say this all heads are bowed. If God has spoken to you this morning, I'm just going to ask you to slip your hand up, and we're going to pray for each one of you. I'm just going to ask you to see your hands. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. You can put them back down again then as we go. Lord, I just thank you this morning for your love. And God, as you care for the needs of each one of us, and you so deeply, deeply want to be involved in our lives, you saw the hands this morning, Lord. You know each one of their needs. And as they, again, commit themselves to you, you know everything about them. And Lord, you're not accusing them. John 5:45 says, you are not the accuser of the brethren. So Lord, as you come into their hearts, as you continue to minister life this week into each one of them that have raised their hands this morning and said, yes, Lord, that's me. I want to open my life up one more time to you. I know you're the ultimate healer. I know that you can bring, that you care for my every need. Lord, I just pray blessing on this entire church today that as we go forward, as we continue to seek you with all our heart, soul, and mind, that we would make you look good, that your name would be glorified above all, over all of Abbeville and Due West and surrounding areas. God, we commit ourselves again this morning to you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be dismissed.